What's up, freaks? This rip of RHR is brought to you by our good friends at Strike. If you hold Bitcoin, you shouldn't have to sell it to access liquidity. Strike offers Bitcoin-backed loans with zero origination fees, zero early repayment fees, and zero liquidation fees. Your Bitcoin is securely held and returned within a business day after your loan is closed. A financial institution built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. That's what Strike is building. They're doing it for you. I use it every day. Go download Strike at strike.me. And use code RHR for $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. Again, that's strike.me. Use the code RHR. You're going to get $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. This episode, again, is sponsored by Strike.
This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an Aragat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q.
This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com, use the code RHR, and you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like seven a day. I drink a few a day, maybe seven a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. For 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Itty bitty yield in an orange tie. Itty bitty yield in an orange tie.
You having fun yet?
I'm having a lot of fun, brother. I'm having a lot of fun. Happy Thursday, everybody. Yeah, the good meme. Matt was producing some memes this morning. Logan was providing some fodder before we hit record.
Wild times.
Wild times indeed.
Bitcoin is the best money. Don't you forget it.
What's the best asset to underlie digital credit, which is the best money?
Fun thing about digital credit is neither digital nor credit.
Are we going to fall down the rabbit hole? Are we going to talk about this every week? Or
no, I mean, I don't even think we need to talk about it right now. I think Saylor can stop the bleeding if he's willing to check his ego. And Nat's waiting to see if he's going to do that or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will just say it's kind of sad that I think we used to be very proud of the fact that with Bitcoin, we didn't have to read Fed tea leaves. And it seems like, at least in the short to medium term, not only do we have to read Fed tea leaves still, we also have to read Saylor slop posts. That's how the market is being dictated right now.
Is it being dictated by that? I don't know.
100%. 100%.
Too much credence on that. Taking my beef pills, freaks. Not endorsement, not a paid endorsement. I'm going to show you the brand, but I'm taking some beef organ pills. I think it's been helping. I think 3 weeks in. Feels good. Yeah, ton to talk about this week. A lot going on in the world of Bitcoin, a lot going on in the world of AI, stable coins morphing into central bank digital currencies right before our eyes. And I guess before we get into the topics du jour, we'll go to the Clark's dashboard, where the current price of Bitcoin is crashing down to 62,440 cuckbucks. We're at 1,602 sats per cuckbuck. We're at a $1.25 trillion market cap. We're at block height 954,278, which means we had a difficulty adjustment between last week's episode and this week's episode. It was a negative 10.1% adjustment. As of right now, we're 1,305 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, estimated to be on June 28th of this year. As of right now, it's looking like a 5% upwards adjustment. So price is down, hash rate is down, difficulty moving down. If you have miners plugged in, it's a good time to be mining, I think. Even though the price is down, that's a pretty big difficulty adjustment we just had. There are 2,145 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have 108,547 transactions according to my mempool instance. We got a lot going on the screen right now. We got mempool. We got like a
how movie. Awesome is the Poly Market ticker?
It is pretty sweet.
Logan and I surprised Marty with it.
What do we think? Will Andy Pages lead the MLB and RBIs for the 2026 regular season? No, it's going to be Kyle Schwarber.
I in the Ride or Die live chat, which you can find in your favorite Nostra app, Primal, Wisp, Zapstream. Satoshi Skywalker zapped us 50,000 sats of freedom money. Longtime listener, first time zapper, in light of the new tyrannical Illinois tax bill, could you reiterate for newbies why running a node, just not cold storage alone, is essential for self-sovereignty? Thanks, bros. Well, pretty simple. If you aren't running your own and running and using your own Bitcoin node, you're using someone else's. And you're trusting them with both your privacy and enforcing the rules of the network. So the only way to interact with the global Bitcoin network without trusting a third party is to use your own node.
Yeah. And should we lead off with Illinois?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. I mean, put the list in a specific order for a specific reason, but if you want to, why not?
We had to YOLO read that zap. We usually wait a little bit.
Well, we got an awesome fat zap.
Yeah. Illinois is third on the list. But we'll front run with, we'll front run with the security vulnerability, which we'll be quick with this. It was discovered the Bitcoin Core version 31.0, very controversial version of Core, has a bug with the private broadcast feature. Essentially, if you're broadcasting an IPv4, IPv6 peer that advertises support for V2 of BIP324 transport, if you're BIP324 enabled and you're signaling for that type of transport, it goes through Tor. And if the V2 handshake fails, it falls back, and the fallback is leaking IP addresses to your node peers, which is not good for a privacy perspective. So actually ties into the zap question, why you should run a full node. You should, but you should be able to hide your IP, which BIP324 is trying to make very easy.
Well, there's a little bit of nuance here. First of all, this was a new feature that I think was added in V30. But regardless, either way, the ironic thing is the most private way to look up your transactions and your transaction balances and the most trust minimized way is using your own node. But historically, if you've wanted to broadcast a transaction, it's actually better to use someone else's node, because then the network, you know, sees it coming from that node. So if you use something like mempool.space transaction broadcaster or blockstream.info, or just, you know, an Electrum server, and a lot of times you'd actually get better privacy. So trying to reduce that nuance that in a situation where if you just use your node, you're strictly better regardless of receiving or sending, I think would be a big win. And but anyway, be aware, freaks.
Yeah, be aware. They're looking like they're going to come out with a patch for V31.1, but that hasn't been released yet. They're saying, what are they saying? I read this. They had a workaround. Until they can upgrade to version 31.1, users of private broadcast should apply one of the following. Disable the feature. Set private broadcast equals zero, or disable V2 transport. Set V2 transport equals zero. Or you can route IPv4/IPv6 outbound through Tor by setting the proxy to what's here. We'll link to this in the show notes, and you can make those changes on the guy. I noticed that Mr. Hoddle was very excited for this particular feature. a couple weeks ago, he was talking about it.
I will say, if you're running your node, the easiest way to run your node is to just run the app on your computer. But what a lot of people do is use Start9 or Umbral or something like that. And they actually make it very easy to just do everything through Tor when you do it that way.
Yeah. So be aware. And it's going to be more important to transact privately in the state of Illinois, as we alluded to, because they've come down with some draconian last minute bill that snuck in a 0.2% tax on any Bitcoin, like any usage of Bitcoin, right? Like, so like if you're holding Bitcoin on exchange, if you move Bitcoin from an exchange to a cold storage wallet,
even if you move it to yourself.
Yeah. Governor Pritzker in the state of Illinois wants to charge you 0.2% on every one of those transactions. So it's called the Digital Asset Tax Act. It was signed into law as part of the state's 2027 budget on Tuesday. So again, 0.2% tax on crypto activity in the state, including when assets are transferred or purchased. So if you buy $1 million worth of Bitcoin, they're expecting you to pay them $2,000.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a couple of things here. First of all, it's an incredibly short-sighted, predatory law focused on a incredibly strong industry that brings a lot of prosperity to the places where Bitcoiners are focused. I think any smart Bitcoiner that is raising a family, building a business in Illinois is currently thinking about what their exit plan is. And I think it will greatly hurt the state. I think this is the type of failed state things we're seeing around the world right now. And ultimately in America and globally, but especially in America, I think the most impactful vote we have is with our feet and moving our businesses and our families to jurisdictions that actually want to have us. And then the second piece is, I think focusing on the actual amount of the tax is the wrong way to think about this. I think they intentionally made it, you know, quite small with 0.2% as the tax rate. The goal here is not tax revenue. The goal here is not even enforcement, because I think it'll be quite hard to enforce. The goal here is to effectively criminalize financial privacy. So if you are not reporting every transaction and every balance and every aspect of your Bitcoin financial life, then you are a criminal in Illinois. And that's the goal here. It should be pushed back on hard. And I mean, I left New York for similar reasons. And look, guys, I know moving is hard. It's quite difficult. It can be expensive, but also like leaving family, friends, very difficult. It's scary. But I don't think Illinois gets better for Bitcoiners anytime soon. So I think, especially if you have a young family, you should be considering other options.
Illinois down bad this month. They lost the Bears. The thought of Chicago losing the Bears to Indiana is, as somebody who lived in Chicago for 5 years, went to school in the city. That's where I went to college, was at DePaul University in Chicago. And Chicago is very near and dear to my heart. And I guess by extension, the state of Illinois, like the L's just keep piling up. And I think this is, to your point, late stage grift. I mean, Illinois, most famously, I think behind California, like their pension system's completely out of whack, underfunded.
They sold their parking meters.
So the city did, and it says like Saudi Arabia or something, like some like private Saudi company. And they're seeing no revenue from the parking in the city of Chicago. But I think more importantly, the state notoriously corrupt. The Pritzker family is a stain on humanity. Absolutely disgusting. Sort of identity politics at its core, communistic. I mean, this is pure communism. We're going to take from a very small subset of our population that has had some success if they bought Bitcoin, and just literally just confiscate their wealth. And it's a wealth confiscation, to your point too, an attempt to thrust the surveillance system on top of Bitcoiners to make sure that they report. I do think this is going to, it already is getting a lot of pushback. I would find it hard to believe it if it actually, I mean, it's signed into law, but whether or not they're able to enforce that law is another question. And I
could go to the courts.
Yeah, it'll go to the courts. I could see this going to the Supreme Court. But there's a lot of questions out there about Strike, about Jack. I think we need to clear up some things as it pertains to Strike specifically.
What do we need to clear up?
They're not domiciled in
Strike. Is not based in Chicago. Yeah. I think Jack is strongly considering moving. I know I would if I was him, but I'm also not going to speak for him. But yeah, this doesn't, this can impact Strike users that are based in Illinois.
Yeah. But the company itself should be fine. But there's other companies domiciled in Illinois that are not going to have a good time. I mean, Cumberland, which is like one of the biggest OTC desks, I'm pretty sure. Where's Cumberland?
What about the CME?
Right. That's a good question. Yeah. Cumberland is domiciled and headquarters in Chicago, Illinois. I mean, that's a massive, Cumberland DRW is like a massive, long-standing OTC desk that deals with Bitcoin and crypto. Like, are they going to have to pay this 0.2% tax?
I know it's all very early, but like I said, it's clearly an attack on Bitcoiners in the state. So treat it accordingly.
Yeah, well, if you're in Illinois and you find a Square terminal, you will be able to spend your Bitcoin. You have to wait at the opportunity cost if you're going to actually report and pay that 0.2% tax. But Square has made it even easier in their point of sale terminals to pay with Bitcoin on the screens that are popular. I'm sure you're all familiar with them because you've seen them in the wild. But now when you go to check out and you get the call to action to pay, to tap, to insert card, you'll also be able to swipe, hit the Bitcoin button and be presented with a QR code that allow you to pay in Bitcoin. And you can also tap. So if you're using wallets like Macadamia, which leverages the Cashew protocol and eCash, if you're using Zeus similarly, with their eCash functionality, you'll be able to tap to pay with those wallets as well.
I absolutely love this. This is how it should be. You shouldn't have to educate the cashier on what Bitcoin is.
Yeah. Shipping fast. Do you have it on the list? The bot that Jack tweeted out?
No. What is that? I didn't even know about that.
There, I mean, building in the wild. Block has been, they've been very forward about open sourcing what they're doing in the company, open sourcing a lot of the software that they build. But looking for the tweet now, they announced yesterday that they've been leveraging a bot internally called BuilderBot, which is an AI tool that coordinates multiple agents across their entire code base from inside Slack. Logan, I'll put this in the show notes so you can see it. So you can basically tag this bot in Slack with what you need, and it researches, plans, writes the code, opens the PR, watches CI, and iterates on feedback. It's already merging 1,500 pull requests a week, about 50% of all production code changes across the Block family of companies. Features that used to take months are shipping in days. So this is built on Goose, Block's open source agent framework, and the MCP protocol they co-developed with Anthropic. So in terms of implementing AI within your company, it seems that the Block's really leaning in. I think that is the big bifurcation in the market right now. Companies experimenting with agentic functionalities, or just LLMs in general within their companies. Famously, Uber came out a couple months ago, said they blew through their entire 2026 token budget by the middle of April, and they're having to recalibrate. And I think one of the important things to glean from these differing implementations of AI across these different companies is the fact that implementation is very important. And I think if you read between the lines of how Block is doing it and how some of their employees have talked about it publicly, their implementation is actually legitimate. Like their ability to switch models depending on what task they need to complete, and leveraging their own open source framework, their agent framework with Goose, and adding MCP, it seems like it's paying off for them. It's actually beneficial for their operations. And we've talked about this a lot, but the way in which you implement these LLMs is really going to dictate whether or not they are productive for you and worth the investment in the first place.
Love to see it. Back to the chat. We have a good question on the new, on that Bitcoin integration. Is it available on all merchants by default? I know they want to enable it on all merchants. In practice right now, it's a subset. A subset is default, but it automatically converts to dollars, and then they can change it if they want it to receive it as Bitcoin. And in this specific case, obviously, they also need one of the Square terminals that has you. I'm sure you, when you guys are out and about, you see that there's many different types of hardware that Square has out there. They need one of those Square terminals, one of the newer ones that is aimed at the customer. So when you walk up, the customer can manually switch it themselves. Obviously, all Square merchants don't have that. I'm sure they're trying to roll it out as quick as possible, but I definitely wouldn't say it's on all merchants that they have, but a large subset. And then in our ride or die chat, we have Mab21. He's at 21,000 sats. And then we have Average Gary. He has no message. The money is the message, because Bitcoin is the best money. And then we have Average Gary, zapped 21,000 sats. Shenandoah Bitcoin Club has a new location. We're still meeting every third Saturday of 10 a.m., but now we'll be meeting at Daily Buzz Cafe in Middletown, Virginia. Bitcoin Veterans Summit 2026 is happening November 9th and 10th at Bitcoin Park in Nashville. I hope to see you at either. Love it.
Yeah. Love to see it. Thank you guys for zapping. Thank you for participating. Like and subscribe. Share this. Tweet it out. I haven't even retweeted the episode yet. I don't even have X up. I've been so engaged in the conversation, Matt. You're so engaging this week that I haven't even checked my notifications to see if we're live yet. We are. So I'll give the retweet there. Give us a thumbs up, a like, a retweet wherever you're watching. And on to the next topic, which is Matt completely negging on his comments from earlier, which is like, we got tired of reading Fed tea leaves. And one of the topics that he has, the verbiage,
that's why I brought it up,
the list is Fed ends forward guidance era, tea leaves back on the menu. And so, yeah, Kevin Warsh, first FOMC meeting was this week, and obviously his first post FOMC meeting presser. And I think everybody was expecting this, for him to hold rates and for him to come out and announce that they're not going to use forward guidance moving forward, because he doesn't think it makes any sense due to the latency in which data is received at the Fed. They've often been reacting to data that is stale and old. And I think that was the point he tried to make yesterday, is forward guidance is gone because we're using bad data. We're going to try to figure out how to get better data sources to make quicker decisions on the fly. And then on top of that, if you look at the dot plot, the famous dot plot, one of the most important parts of the tea leaves that you have to read, it seems like many Fed governors are expecting rate hikes this year. I think the amount of governors expecting cuts this year is reduced to one. And it's looking like we'll have at least the expectation, according to the Fed governors who contribute to the dot plot, is that we're going to have potentially another 25 bit hike this year as inflation begins to rear back into the economy via the energy inflation we're seeing from the war in Iran that seems to be over, at least right now. And then on top of that, I think just the reindustrial campaign is inflationary to a degree as well.
I'm going to stay humble and stack sats about it. Did you see that the whatever this war agreement is, they DocuSigned it?
No. Good for DocuSign.
I mean, I don't know if it's specifically DocuSign, but they said it was an electronic signatures, a short document with electronic signatures. Marty, I see in the comments, I forgot about this. You lost your strategy bet with Zoomer Seth.
I did. I paid him out this week.
What was that? What were the terms?
100,000 sats. It was 2-1. He gave me 2-1. If it hit a million by June 15th, he would pay me 200,000 sats. And if it didn't, I would pay him 100,000. The bet has been settled. Seth has received the sats. And yeah, maybe it was like right when Stretch was like accumulating a ton of Bitcoin a day from their sales. That obviously did not pan out. It wasn't persistent buying there, I guess you could say.
Wow, someone zapped us 2 British pounds on YouTube. Most people don't zap us on YouTube. I don't remember the last time I saw that.
Super chat zap.
Make sure, Marty, you send me 1 British pound.
I will. I'll get your British pound. Don't worry. It is, I mean, it does highlight how beautiful the Noster live stream super chats are, because it's like we get that money right away.
It's awesome.
In our wallet.
It's the best money.
There's something going on behind the scenes at Google and YouTube right now where they have to convert 2 British pounds to US dollars and put it in our account, and then they pay out once a month. And it's like, those pounds will be locked up. Bitcoin is better movie. Is that what we titled it this week? Like the Noster's
Proving Bitcoin's Better Movie. I titled it Bitcoin is the Best Money, which is true. More true than ever. SoMiner zapped us 21,000 sats. Bitcoin is money. Use it as such.
Yeah.
Soap legend.
Just used the soap. As you can tell, my hair is a little wet. I hopped out of the shower. I took a shower right before we recorded. I was using a soap. Use the code RHR at soapminer.com. Best soap in the game. I was lemongrass. I'm on a lemongrass bar right now. It's a great bar of soap.
I do love that SoapMiner only accepts Bitcoin. If you want the best soap, you have to pay with Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So what do we think? Fed ending forward guidance. Are you excited? Are you bulled up? Are you ready to read some tea leaves?
Dude, I'm telling you. I think it's part of the weakness in Bitcoin right now. It's at least one aspect. And the other aspect is Sailor. And the other aspect is AI.
Yeah, I recorded with Brandon Bailey this morning. He was that Galaxy longtime Bitcoin mining infrastructure analyst, and naturally has been following the the transition of Bitcoin miners to AI compute, and it is inarguably happening, and justifiably so. It should happen if you just look at the bare numbers. And we actually had a, I'm not going to spoil the whole conversation, but there was, I think the last question asked was about what happens to Bitcoin mining. For all those who are saying that this is negative, I would push back. And I think Brandon made a good point, and I agree with him, which is like, this is going to be naturally, natural forcing function, distribute mining, geographically distribute mining ownership, and it's going to push it off grid, which is stronger for the network at the end of the day.
Yeah, and also all the powerful people that were flooding Bitcoin power usage are using way more power right now for their AI compute than Bitcoin ever has. So we can finally lay that FUD to rest. And also, I just think it's better for society if we have more robust energy. So that's a good aspect too.
Yeah, it is. It is. Speaking of AI disrupting, looks like it's going to be disrupting Robinhood's workforce, where they plan to cut 10% in restructuring. Robinhood said on Tuesday it will cut 10% of its full-time workforce, or about 290 roles, as the trading platform seeks to operate more efficiently by flattening organizational layers. The move comes from companies across sectors continuing to scrutinize headcount and management structures. So hierarchy getting suppressed by AI.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I still, you know, I'm still expecting mass layoffs to continue and accelerate here. That doesn't mean there won't be opportunities in other places. I think with chaos comes opportunity, but I think it's important for people to be prepared and not just accept, you know, the gaslighting of you can do nothing and retire and have universal high income. I think you have to take your future into your own hands. Your family's counting on you to do so. The other piece is, you know, out of all of these like large fiat companies, I'm actually kind of impressed that they didn't have that many employees to begin with. It's kind of sad that 2,000 employees is like not that much employees. I think we're going to see more lean organizations happen. I think Bitcoiners have been ahead of that curve. But I was surprised when I saw 10%, I was like, oh shit, how much is 10%? And then when I saw it was 200 roles, it was actually less people than I expected.
Yeah. And you can see here, this is probably looking at that chart, but Robinhood shares lag broader markets in 2026. S&P's up 10.35%. Robinhood's down 13.24. So they're probably looking at it like, all right, we can make these cuts, need to make them, show people we're AI forward.
He actually didn't mention AI at all in his letter.
Didn't? Did you? Oh, I saw one comment. The letter, it started out with, good morning, Robin Hoodies.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about companies that have like have nicknames for the employee, or like a cult like?
It's kind of lame, man.
Yeah, Robin Hoodies is pretty good.
But it's especially lame when you're like firing people.
Yeah. Hey, Robin Hoodies. God, hate to break it to you, but 10% of you are not going to be here on Monday.
Look, I mean, firing people is difficult.
Yeah.
No, it always sucks.
It does. We're already on to the Financial Freedom Report, story of the week, which comes out of China, which is developing AI-powered tools to predict dissent. Leaked documents reveal that Chinese technology company Geege Networks is developing AI-powered tools aimed at predicting who might one day criticize the CCP. Working with Mesa Lab, a regime-backed research lab, Geege is reportedly building behavioral profiles of individuals based on their social media, location data, telecommunications, and online activity. AI models could then shift through profiles and spotlight those who might be a political risk. There's no evidence the technology is finalized or deployed, but if deployed, China's surveillance system could become a tool to chill dissent before it ever begins. For more stories like this and others, make sure you go to financialfreedomreport.org. Sign up for the newsletter. where they give this information out and follow these stories every Thursday morning. Let's go check it out. Not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of hope with AI tech. I think the open source ecosystem is way stronger than I ever expected it to be at this point. I think we're also benefiting from the fact that among the big AI companies, there's actually pretty solid competition. You have, you know, the big four, Anthropic, OpenAI, Google. And XAI. And I think, so we're in a pretty good spot, and I think it definitely empowers individuals that take charge, and that's a bullish aspect. But the ground truth here is at its core, without any improvements going forward, it is fantastic as a tool for surveillance and control, sifting through large data sets. And in this case, we're seeing basically thought crimes. This is like Minority Report. So analyzing everything you do, all that data, and then trying to guess what you do next, which I actually think, you know, obviously it's probability analysis, but even with the top models today, it's probably pretty effective. If you know a ton about someone, which we've seen a ton of data collection even before the AI stuff, it's probably pretty predictive. Yeah. Scary shit.
Yeah. I mean, do you have it on the list? We got to get to shout outs, so we will, but I just want to make sure. Yeah.
Of course, I have it on the list.
You have it on the list. I just want to make sure because it dropped right after we recorded.
Yeah, let's do shout outs. Yeah, that was intentional, by the way. We already know the Trump administration listens to RHR. And now we have another confirmation. But let's read shout outs, then we'll do show notes, and then I intentionally put a bunch of juicy topics afterwards.
We've got Rabbit Hole Recap number 413, Brave New World. One shout out to read. I think you can guess who it's from. Our girl Pringle Mac. 33,333 sats, threes across the board, palindrome boost. Australia killed it in Sunday's game against Turkey. It's been a long time since I was proud of my country. Next game, USA, Saturday, our time. We will win. Maybe even the World Cup. Love, Sil, and Tony. Love you guys. But it's our year. It's our cup.
Man, I love World Cup. Like, it's not perfect. FIFA's like one of the most corrupt organizations ever. It's fucking insane that they have hydration breaks just to add commercials in air conditioned stadiums. Like, who do they think they're kidding?
That's US TV rights. That's like
like, I know exactly what they're doing, but just the fact that you can just have games on constantly while you're working. I just love the vibe. I love the vibe of just being able to just constantly watch soccer.
Yeah. It's been great. My boys have been into it for some reason. My oldest is a huge Ronaldo fan. I think he got gifted a hand-me-down from his cousin, a Ronaldo jersey, and he's just been wearing it for the last week. Like, when's Portugal playing? Like,
there you go.
It happened broken to him that Ronaldo is a terrible World Cup player, though.
And World Cup's always interesting, right? Because it's, you know, obviously for these top tier guys, it's a secondary priority. They don't play together often. It's not where they make their money. There's not really that much team chemistry. But then the challenger country is like, it's their moment, right? And I think you see a lot more camaraderie among the challenger squads. On Noster this week, we didn't get any zaps over 21,000 sats. As a reminder, every episode is posted to Noster afterwards. Hashtag signed. It is the grounded truth that, you know, deepfakes haven't happened in the future. You can find it by searching RHR in your favorite Noster app or by going to primal.net/RHR in your web browser. I think also part of the reason we didn't get any zaps over 21,000 sats is because I was having trouble uploading last week's episode, so it went up a little bit late.
Hey, that'll happen. That'll happen. Thank you guys for supporting. If you're listening live now, support any way you can. Like, subscribe, hit that noty button. a kid, you can do whatever you want. On to software updates. First on the list, we have AlbiHub. Version 1.23.0 has been released. This introduces just-in-time channels that automatically open to accept incoming payments when you lack inbound liquidity. Brand new cards page for instant one-click debit card top-ups for online and real-world spending. An experimental ARC payment backend. Redesigned homepage with new story section. Redesigned currency input with fiat and sat/Bitcoin toggle. And improved CLN backend support and a number of other minor improvements and bug fixes. Pretty just-in-time lightning liquidity. Love to see it. We didn't cover it last week, but I think another thing that should be mentioned, that BitGo, in collaboration with Amboss, they released some institutional yield product, but it's like a yield product that actually makes sense. I think if you're custodying Bitcoin on BitGo and it's like long-term cold storage or Bitcoin they don't plan on touching, they're allowing you to use this Lightning yield product to put Bitcoin up in Lightning channels and reap fees from the routing fees that you clip along the way. So big move for BitGo. Shout out to Amboss, Jesse and the team. It's a pretty big get for them too.
Love it.
Yeah. Cove version 1.3.0 beta has been released with passkey cloud backup and multi-account support. We've been talking about Cove wallet for a couple years now, maybe a few years, but for those who are unaware, this is an iOS Bitcoin wallet that is really,
it is Android too,
and Android too, that's looking to give you like the best first class experience for those who want to use Bitcoin as sovereignly as possible.
And specifically, so Praveen is awesome. He's the maintainer of Cove, fully open source, funded by OpenSats. I and others have worked closely with him on beta testing and building it out. I love it because it's trying to be very focused at what it does, which is being an on-chain wallet. It doesn't offer Lightning. It doesn't offer Liquid. It doesn't include Arc or Spark or anything else. It's just an on-chain wallet that works on mobile, that works really well with hardware wallets. My favorite way to interact with hardware wallets, and the reason hardware wallets are increasingly important, is because for saving specifically, you want to keep your Bitcoin offline. It is the most secure way to use Bitcoin, is to keep your Bitcoin offline so that a hacker cannot hack you through the internet, right? They have to physically compromise you. They have to be there in person and try and beat the shit out of you to take your Bitcoin from you. And so I always love using Sparrow on desktop, and we haven't really seen a option for people that are mobile only or mobile first and want to use, single sig or multi-sig hardware wallets, with some kind of software, coordinator. And so Cove fits that role really well. I like to think of it, almost like a Sparrow for mobile, because by the way, Sparrow wallet does not exist on mobile. And if you see Sparrow wallet in an app store, that is a scam app, and do not download.
Has Apple not taken that down yet?
I don't know. Like, one goes down, one goes up. You can just, it's relatively safe to assume that there's almost always one.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Praveen. Shout out to Cove. Go check it out if you haven't already. Open Auspex project homepage. A warrant canary you can't fake, freeze, or backdate. Open Auspex publishes warrant canaries on Nostr and anchors every attestation to the Bitcoin blockchain. A seized key can't keep the bird chirping with pre-signed statements. No one can quietly backdate or erase the record. The freshness is provable, and the silence is the message. Pretty cool.
I think this is cool. This is made by Ride or Die Free Kaz. And just a reminder, what is a warrant canary? So we've seen three-letter agencies and other law enforcement go after services, and then they tell you that you have a gag order and you can't tell people that you're being investigated. So a warrant canary, while not perfect, tries to flip the script. So basically what services do is they just constantly say, we have not received any law enforcement requests. And then if they do receive one, they stop saying that. So instead of breaking a gag order by telling people that we've received a request, it's the reverse. They just stop saying they haven't. And hopefully at least a few users will notice, and then those few users sound the alarm for everybody else.
Yeah. Go check out OpenAuspex. OpenAuspex. Very beautifully designed site. AI making it very easy to design these sites. And sorry if I'm assuming that this was built with AI, but
it's a hard domain to say out loud, but it's in the show notes.
OpenAuspex.dev, AUSPEX is how you spell Auspex. Bark wallet now available on Umbral. We've been talking about Seconds, Arc Protocol, Bark, over the last month since they hit mainnet. And so Bark wallet hit the Umbral app store on the same day as their mainnet launch. This is a blog post from good friend Neil Woodfine. So this is good to see. We've been talking about it for a while, but I'm really excited to see both the Bark and Arc protocol hit the market and get it implemented in more apps across Bitcoin.
Love to see it. Those guys are shipping and doing great work. Bitcoin is the best money.
Yeah. I like the branding of the Bark protocol too. It's fun. It's a fun branding thing. Enclavia, 6 hard problems, 1 solution. So Enclavia, this is from, why is his name escaping me?
It's escaping me too. The Italian BDK. Dude.
What?
He's Italian.
What the hell is his name? Why can't I remember it? Alekos Fellini. There we go.
There you go. Yeah. Portal hardware wallet too.
Yeah. So Enclavia basically trying to make trusted execution environments and secure enclaves out of the box easier. That is a reason for being. And he wrote this piece, 6 hard problems, 1 solution for Enclavia. I have not read it. Admittedly, you put it on the list. What do you want to point out here?
We talked about this previously, but Alekos, and yeah, once again, sorry that your name escaped me. You're a legend in its own right. He was focused very heavily on the Portal hardware wallet, and now he's putting a lot of his focus on this idea of making it easier to build on top of secure enclaves in cloud servers. And I think it's really interesting. I think there's a lot of demand there. I think there's good overlap on AI stuff too. But he kind of like ninja launched it when the concept of cashew mints running in secure enclaves was being discussed. So I think that could be one piece here, but he wrote up, this is his full write-up of it, right? Instead of just a tweet.
Yeah. 6 ways can go wrong: building the image, deploying it, connecting to it, persisting data, talking to the outside world, and upgrading it. What they shipped, reproducible builder on Nix, managed infrastructure without trust, an open source client library terminated inside the enclave, full encrypted rollback proof file system, an emulated network interface without bound firewall, and a cryptographic chain of attestations for every upgrade. So it looks like you can upgrade the software within the enclave. That was what we were discussing last week with the cashew running in trusted execution.
Well, it depends what your setup is. Yeah. And in the cashew setup, that wouldn't be the case. Because the whole point is to reduce operator liability.
Yeah. You want to set it and forget it.
But obviously there are situations where operators want to have more control over it. They just don't want to see certain information, right? Hmm. That's the most common use of these things, right? If it's like something like Maple AI or whatever.
Yeah.
They're constantly, you know, making changes and updates and adding new models and whatnot. They just don't want to be able to see the content of the chats. But with cashew, you want like no control. Does that make sense? Did I freeze or did he freeze? Logan, am I still
here? Yeah, you're still here.
Nice. The irony of Marty failing is I am currently running on the open source Star 9 router that should be coming out soon through two hops on Obscura VPN and using Starlink. Here I am. I'm still here. Pretty fucking cool. But if you want to learn more about Star 9 router, it's router.start9.com. They're taking Bitcoin for pre-orders and it should be out. Hopefully, I think this summer is the plan. Yeah, I've been testing out for a few months. And then Obscura, if you use code RHR, great VPN, pay with Bitcoin. You get a discount. But what's really cool about the Star 9 router is that you can basically have all of your internet traffic run through the WireGuard VPN of your choosing. And then you can set different Wi-Fi passwords that either connect to different VPN servers or no VPN or have LAN access or don't have LAN access. And the whole thing is open source. Pretty fucking cool.
Very cool. Sorry, my internet crapped out there. I don't know what happened.
You're good.
On to the big juicy stories of the week. That was it for the software updates. Average Gary is asking, did y'all have Lyro or Iro?
Iro.
Iro 1.0.0 on the list. We did not. Maybe we'll cover that next week.
Iro 1.0.0 is now released.
Yeah. I have no idea what it is or what they released, but it's out there.
It's a way to, it's what they're using for Fediment to make it easy to run nodes at home and on mobile. Iro.computer, I-R-O-H dot computer.
Let's go check it out. Go check it out. Now on to the juicy topics. On June 12th, a little over a week ago, last Wednesday, Anthropic announced that did they release it on the 12th or did it get pulled on the 12th?
I don't know. It was right after RHR. It wasn't.
This announcement is dated the 12th.
It is.
But we didn't talk about it on RHR last week, right?
We didn't.
Maybe they just backdated their blog post?
Yeah, maybe because you have it. Anthropic expands access to Fable and Mythos. But everybody knows what's going on. Anthropic released Fable 5 last week. It was out for a few days. People were very happy with it. They were doing a lot of things. And then I believe somebody from Amazon contacted the U.S. government and said, hey, we jailbroke this thing. This is the story that we're getting, at least. We jailbroke this thing. And we're worried it could affect critical systems. U.S. government then went to Anthropic and said, your guardrails are not guardrailed enough. They're not secure enough to prevent people from using this tool in a way that we deem safe enough to protect critical systems. Apparently, Anthropic and the government had a back and forth. Dario Amodi was trying to hold the line, saying, no, we're not going to pull it. And then the U.S. government incited export controls on Fable 5 and essentially forced Anthropic to pull it from the market under threat of very severe federal charges if they didn't cooperate. Back and forth. I mean, I think it's very unclear exactly what happened, but there were many people saying that the government went to Anthropic and said, hey, you need to make sure that no foreign nationals have access to this. And Anthropic said, well, we have foreign nationals working for our company, and they are using these models to help build future models that we're working on. So it's literally impossible for us to ensure that no foreign nationals are using this technology without essentially borking a good portion of our company. The government said, I don't care. Pulled from market, still off the market, and has led to some interesting discussions about the nature of regulation and AI. Is this KFOB to set up the regulatory licensing regime that we've been warning about for a couple of years now? Is this legitimate? Was Fable 5 truly a dangerous model that, if jailbroken, could have led to security vulnerabilities in critical systems throughout the country on the internet and the physical meat space? And where do we go from here? I think that's the number one question on everybody's mind. Is the government going to come in very ham-fisted and thrust KYC AML and really dictate what can and not cannot get released to market as it pertains to these large language models?
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's a couple of things here. First off, as an American, I think if we want our country and our citizens to flourish and succeed in this brave new world of AI, we need less regulation, not more. So I think that's the most important kernel of truth here. I think people are rightfully concerned that this could spread, but I would push back on that a little bit. I mean, first and foremost, Anthropic was kind of asking for this. I mean, they just were like using as their marketing, saying that this was like basically a weapon of mass destruction and could create bioweapons and a bunch of different shit. And that was their excuse for the guardrails in the first place that really nerfed the model for a lot of use cases. The second piece is Anthropic has been very hostile to the Trump administration, particularly the Department of War. So there's a lot of bad blood there specifically with that company and the Trump administration. So it doesn't surprise me that they would use any excuse to stifle their business. That logically flows. And I think part of that, if you go from there, I find it less likely that you see similar restrictions on an OpenAI or a Google or an XAI. And then the third piece is that I think Anthropic was probably not so upset by pulling this. I think they're using it as a further marketing for the quote unquote power of their models over the competition. They're obviously rushing to IPO where they're competing with XAI, Google, and OpenAI. So I think they were kind of like happy to like quote unquote dig their heels in the sand on this one. And that probably will be less likely to be the case as weeks go on and they can't offer, you know, the most competitive model possible against the alternatives. The last piece I would say is I think Anthropic wants to see a regulatory moat and KYC on all of these things. But they know if they implement it by themselves, it will make them less competitive to not only the other top AI companies, but also the growing robust open source AI ecosystem. So if this was to be implemented, if you follow the effective altruist cult where they think they're better than everyone and they're making God, with code, they want everyone to have KYC and heavy regulation. So they're not the only ones doing it. And so I think people should basically be looking at this news through that lens. Now, from an individual point of view, what can you do to protect yourself to make sure you're best set up? First of all, you know, getting acquainted with open source models and specifically being able to run them locally is going to be more important than ever. But then the second piece I say is, and we talked about this last week, just on the idea of Fable being nerfed to begin with. Don't set up your company and your family to be completely reliant on a single big tech AI company. Like Claude Cowork, Claude Code, you're like fully embedded in their ecosystem. And then if they cut you off, then all of a sudden you're left hanging. You need to be adapting. You need to be on the fly. You need to be able to be agnostic to a specific AI model and be able to switch between them. And that's not just self-hosting stuff. That's using services like PPQ.ai or OpenRouter or even Venice to be able to on the fly switch between models and not be reliant on a single company for your family and your business's future.
Yeah, that's why I highly advise like using an agentic harness like Hermes or OpenClaw that make it easy to switch the models in and out depending on what you need to do. Like, so if Anthropic was to get completely cucked, the government were to say, all right, you got to shut down. You guys are too dangerous. We're leveraging Opus 4.6 and a bunch of Sonnet models for a lot of what we're doing, but I could easily go in and say, okay, let's just use GPT-5 and Gemma and all these other models to do what we're doing. And the most important thing is the sovereign folder and file system that we built on top of the harness. As long as we have that, you can essentially inject any model into it. So yeah, that's where I would advise against locking yourself into Claude Cowork or Claude Code, or similarly with Codex doing the same thing, because that lock-in's severe.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example here is with Citadel Wire. I had it running on Fable 5. And obviously that's an on-demand news desk that is completely automated. Like, I don't touch it except to make tweaks when it makes mistakes and stuff and need to make some improvements. And I saw the Fable 5 news and it had already gracefully fall back to GPT-5.5 without me having to do anything. And that's the kind of situation you want to set yourself up in.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think this resolves? You think this is just the Department of War being mad at Anthropic for not giving them kill decision access using their models, and it's just like a flexing of political power to send a message to them? Is it KFOB to create a licensing regime that really stifles the ability of people to access this and use it in ways in which they deem necessary? Is it a misstep by the government overstepping their reach?
I think it's a combination of all the above. And I think Anthropic ultimately bends the knee to the US government. I mean, I think they need to check their ego a bit. They do truly think they're better than everyone. Like I said last week, I mean, Dario is so hated at this point that he makes Sam Altman look good. And he's like, Sam Altman is the WorldCoin guy. He's like scanning people's eyeballs. So I think they'll ultimately bend the knee, particularly going into the IPO. And I think hopefully cooler heads will prevail in terms of American regulation. As an American myself, raising my family here, building companies here, I want to see America be the best place to build out using AI tools and build out Bitcoin with Bitcoin. And I think the open source nature is the ultimate bulwark, right? I mean, we're seeing these open source tools, both on the Bitcoin side and on the AI side, become more powerful than ever. And so you can't, like, the genie's out of the bottle on that. You can't stop that. So if you want your companies to be competitive, if you want your citizens to be competitive, you have to go light touch regulation or no regulation at all. So I think that's ultimately what we have going for us.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, like on the other side of the coin, the next story is the Trump administration backing Elon Musk's XAI in an NAACP data center lawsuit that they've thrown at XAI. So the NAACP is suing XAI for, I guess they're calling out the emissions of their data center in certain localities and want them to shut down until they figure out what's going on. And the Trump administration came back, came out and basically asked the courts to throw the suit out in support of Elon Musk. So it's weird. You have this, John Arnold and I have been covering it on Arnold Hole Recap pretty consistently for the last 6 months, which is like you have this like wartime footing here in the United States domestically where the government is being very heavy-handed in terms of its involvement in the reindustrialization, and obviously AI is part of that reindustrialization, and more specifically the data center infrastructure build out is part of that reindustrialization effort. And while this isn't the Trump administration directly investing in one of the companies contributing to this, it is the Trump administration stepping in and saying, no, you can't sue these companies. It's critical for national security.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is surprising. I think we'll see more of this, not less. it's just such an interesting dichotomy from what we've had to deal with on the Bitcoin mining side, which is like, right. had like almost no allies in government. And now you have these big tech bros who were very outspoken against proof of work mining, energy usage, pro proof of stake.
Elon himself.
Yeah. And now they're on the opposite side. Yeah. Elon famously removed Bitcoin payments from Tesla because he said they use too much energy. Now they're using way more energy. And then they have the full help of daddy government to push through all of their power initiatives. On the ride or die freak side, we have Florida Justin zapped 42,524 freedom units. Thank you, sir, for sending and supporting the show.
Yeah. I mean, to wrap up that, I mean, I agree. I don't think the NAACP, like the lawsuit, like
it's weird that it's the NAACP, by the way.
No, well, because Colossus One is in Memphis, and if you look at the demographics of,
well, no, it's a little bit more fucked up than that, by the way. The generators, the generators that the lawsuit is about, are actually across the border, in Kentucky? I think Mississippi.
Mississippi,
yeah, because Memphis is
Southwest.
Yeah. So, like, he couldn't do it on the Tennessee side, so he ran the power lines across the state line, and he's running them in Mississippi, I believe. And his argument is that they're not permanent generators because they're on wheels. So then the law doesn't apply to it.
I can see
they're mobile and temporary.
Well, they are. I mean, they're just waiting for interconnection to TVA.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing with Colossus One, is they daisy chain all these gen sets together while they're waiting for interconnect. And so I do think they have the intent to connect right into the grid. It's just waiting for that interconnection to get built out.
I see a comment in the chat. We are not sponsored by Polymarket yet, and you cannot use code RHR. I just think the ticker's cool.
Kraken not going to IPO by the end of the year. That's what Polymarket's saying. Bitcoin will hit $61,000 today. Polymarket's saying no. The dump is over for today, at least. U.S. and Iran diplomatic meeting by tomorrow. Almost a 50-50 odds here. Polymarket. Will we take Polymarket cutbacks?
I think out of I think once again, I don't think I think it benefits insiders if you're trading it. But it benefits outsiders if you're using it as a source of information. And I like that. I like that benefit to outsiders. As someone who wants more information, not less, in terms of important life decisions, I appreciate the power of prediction markets.
I do as well. But like, we are giving them free advertising by running this right now. Like, we could.
I mean, we talk about Polymarket all the time anyway. They're also giving us this information without us paying for it. So you can look at it from both points of view.
That's true. The market's giving us this information, you know, the market is. Next up, SpaceX. Do you have this wrong in the, like, SpaceX to buy, you have Anysphere? Is that like the official?
It's Cursor's parent company.
Parent company. Okay. So yeah. So Cursor, SpaceX or XAI, I forget which one, invested in Cursor with the option to buy them out in the future. It looks like they're picking up that option and they're going to buy them out at a $60 billion valuation. Cursor, for those who are unaware, is, a development tool. And LLM, I believe they're training their own models that makes it easier to write code. They are probably one of the fastest growing startups in the AI space, outside of the infrastructure companies and the hyperscalers and the frontier models. And I think they went public. SpaceX went public last week, and they're quickly picking up Cursor, I think, to really bolster the argument that they deserve a $2 trillion market cap right now.
Well, did you see the Bill Ackman tweet about it?
No.
Line.
But
to me or Matt?
That's Matt.
Yeah.
Right after bragging about his internet.
Was he bragging about it when I fell off last night?
Yeah.
What did Bill Ackman say? Can we find the Bill Ackman tweet? Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. I'll pick up the Slack while he's figuring out his internet. Bill Ackman. What do we think about Bill Ackman, freaks? Crybaby? Is he a net benefit to society? Net negative? Looking for this tweet? He's tweeting about the rape gang inquiry. That was a big topic of discussion for Bill Ackman yesterday. I think rightfully so. That's a good thing. Bill Ackman said on June 16th, one of the things that makes SpaceX so valuable is how valuable it is. What? The Cursor acquisition costs materially less in dilution because of SpaceX's high valuation. SpaceX's ability to do economically, strategically, and technologically accretive acquisitions is an important component of its value. There is enormous value inherent to a company with a high value, particularly when it is controlled by an entrepreneur with the most talented people want to work for and partner with. Value begets value. Talent begets value. I think that's a good tweet. It's a good justification for SpaceX's valuation. I do think it is a bit lofty right now. It's trading down today. It hit, I think the stock hit something like $225. Yesterday, it's come off those highs, but I think to Bill's point, the gravity around Elon and SpaceX and everything they're working on, from Starlink to the reusable rocket to X to Grok. Granted, Grok's not keeping up with the frontier models, but who's to say that won't happen? And then you have the compute leasing that they're proving out as a business model with Colossus and soon to be Colossus 2, or maybe within the next year. Colossus too. I think with that compute leasing business, they, I think, leapfrogged from nothing to the fourth largest hyperscaler in terms of a company that owns and operates compute. So there's, and if you look at the Anthropic deal specifically, there's a ton of money that's going to come in from that, and that lease alone will probably pay back Colossus 1 within the next year or two, based off of that deal alone. I think in less than a year. And so I think the market's putting a premium on the valuation in the multi-trillion dollars right now. And to Bill Ackman's point, that does give them the flexibility to go acquire companies like Cursor, which I think is going to be incredibly value accretive as well. And I think Cursor joining SpaceX gives them an advantage because they're going to have access to the compute that SpaceX builds out, I would imagine so, at least to be able to train their models and improve their product. And Cursor, I think, was one of the fastest growing companies from a revenue perspective ever when they hit the market a couple of years ago, or hit the market in their current form a couple of years ago. So yeah, Bill makes a good point there. I don't know where Matt is. But if you guys have any questions in the comments section, let me know. In the live stream, this is an Uncle Marty show now. This is the longest Matt's ever left. May not come back. I'm worried. Vincent Anton, Odell falling out after shitting on Marty's internet, and then using the opportunity to promote his router. He's promoting the router. This is incredible. I'm using my yield from Stretch to buy SpaceX. Am I doing this right? I don't know. You know, I'm not giving financial advice here. Matt is saying that he's troubleshooting and he will be back. You know, he's asking if we're still on. Should we tell him no, Logan? Logan, what should we tell him?
I told him RIP.
RIP. RIP, brother. Yeah, I think... a topic we didn't talk about, but I don't even know if Matt has it on the list. Does he have it on the list? I swear I read the list before, but I just forget.
Got exactly. Peter Thiel.
What's that?
We got Peter Thiel, Midjourney.
the leak of Peter Thiel's secret society dialogue. He does have that on the list. Secret elite group member list leaked. But we'll wait for him to come on to talk about that. The thing I wanted to talk about that's not on the list is the Clarity Act, BRCA. It looks like it's, I mean, we were talking about this ago, a few weeks ago. No bill is better than a bad bill. It seems like the bill in its current state, particularly as it pertains to the BRCA, is not good. It's not going to protect developers. There's a loophole that basically gives law enforcement officials and lawyers the ability to charge software developers with, like, you basically should have known that nefarious users, criminals were able to leverage your software. So that language is still in the BRCA. With that being said, like, even without that language getting cleaned up, it doesn't seem like the Clarity Act is going to pass, at least at current pace. I think a lot of politicians that want it to pass are posturing publicly that there's still a chance we can get it in by July 7th, but it doesn't look like, if you look at the recess, I think either the House or the Senate is on recess this week, and then the opposite happens next week. And then you have 4th of July, and then you have the build up to midterm. So it doesn't look like that's going to pass. So it's an update on that. But I highly encourage you to go listen to the TFTC episode I published yesterday with Kyle Olney, who is working with BPI, and particularly the section of the discussion where we talked about the Bank Secrecy Act and the environment around the Bank Secrecy Act when it was originally passed in the 70s. And many people don't know this, but it actually was pushed up to the Supreme Court as unconstitutional. And there were many dissenting justices when they were making that ruling on the BSA specifically back then. And if you look at what's happening, that doesn't have it on the list, but today the Federal Reserve, in conjunction with FinCEN, came out and basically said something that we've been warning about. And this was very clear when the Genius Act was being written and when it ultimately passed last year, is that they're going to thrust KYC AML on the stablecoin issuers. And they came out today with the first rule guidelines from FinCEN and the Treasury under the Genius Act. And the first rule guideline they're putting out there is, like, you need to KYC AML all of your sending that to the stablecoin issuers. So stablecoins, we've been saying, are CBDCs by another word. And I think this rule guideline that was put out today is just another step in that direction. Like, they're going to force KYC AML on stablecoin rails. So beware. I think I held up well while you were gone, sir. And I heard you were shitting on my
internet. Great job. I was shitting on your internet. Karma's a bitch. I have no idea what happened.
You're back though.
I just switched. I'm on 5G now, powered by silent.link.
Shout out to silent.link. The freaks were asking if we had it on the list. We did. Are you guys going to touch on the leak of Peter Thiel's secret society dialogue? We do this have it on wild. The list. I didn't read this until you put it on the list. And I still haven't read it completely, but a leak exposes members of Peter Thiel's secretive, quote unquote, dialogue, D-I-A-L-O-G society. More than 200 of the world's elites registered for a retreat whose agenda runs from panels on cult building and sex to prepping for World War III. An associated app offers matchmaking. What the fuck?
The list is crazy. Does it show the list here?
I don't think so.
It's like 200 people. It's like it's everyone you'd expect in big tech, like all the big AI guys, all the big tech guys, a bunch of politicians, Scott Bessent is on there. It's a who's who.
The same data lays out a program of off-the-record sessions, including Money Does Buy Happiness, Bring Back Nuclear, Navigating World War III, Battlefield Technologies, and How's Your Sex Life? Other talks include Build a Cult, moderated by the founder of the Christian networking site Pray.com, and Build a Party, run by former White House national security official. Where's the list? I want to see the list.
People have been circulating it in like unconfirmed screenshots on the internet, on X. Let's see, I'm pulling one up right now.
Does this surprise anybody though?
Cory Booker, John Arnold, but not our John Arnold, is on there. Scott Bessent, Preet Bharara, U.S. Attorney, New York Southern District.
Can you send me that link?
Pete Brigger, Fortress Investment Group. Here, I'll put it in our Restream chat. Here you go. Elon's obviously on there. Greg Brockman of OpenAI, Cory Booker, New Jersey Senator, Sarah Bond, President of Xbox, Wences.
Tim Ferriss made the list. Tim Ferriss is on the list.
Ted Cruz.
Ezra Klein. Brian Johnson. Wow. Are we mad we didn't make the list? I feel like we should be on this list. I feel like I could give better advice than Tim Ferriss if we're...
Very proud to not be on the list, Marty.
We got to make a list someday. Barry Silbert, Barry's on it.
I mean, it does seem sketchy, but...
Does it shock you?
It's like what we've talked about in the past. Like the Illuminati is a group chat that you're just not a part of.
No,
that's where you are in today's society. Not only is there a bunch of women on there, supposedly there was matchmaking things too. It's like Illuminati Tinder.
How's your sex life? I can't believe
my sex life is fantastic.
Can't believe all the incredibly rich people are getting together and complaining about their sex lives. You know, they're people too. They're people too, you know. Yeah, so the Illuminati list is out there. I don't know, I'll steel man it. Like, you know what? I want a group chat. There's only so many people that have the same problems as these people, that have the same experiences, the same stresses. You know, every once in a while, you want to get a group of people around Dunbar's number together to talk about your problems. You know, I mean, sex life's not great. Ted, how do you spice up your sex life? Mr. Cruz, Senator Cruz. I noticed you were fleeing to Cabo during that storm a couple years ago. Is Cabo your retreat where you rekindled that flame? Who knows? I can tell Matt's still frustrated about his internet falling out. Is that what you're doing? Are you troubleshooting internet still?
Yes, I am. 100%. But I made it back.
On to...
Like I said, I'm on 5G. I'm on 5G right now.
On to more optimistic stories. I thought this was awesome. Midjourney, basically coming out of quasi-stealth mode. I mean, Midjourney... Many of you know them as the image generation model company. We use them every day, literally at TFTC for thumbnail generation. I love that product specifically. Midjourney has signaled over the last year that the image generation is not anywhere near the end state of their company or the sort of end products they want to release to the market. And yesterday we got a peek into the other things that they're building. And the first thing that they announced is this their marketing is something that's going to replace MRIs and lead to many lives being saved because you'll be able to detect what's happening in your body much, much quicker. I thought this was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of unexpected, right?
Yeah. Midjourney's an anomaly. Yeah. They never raised outside capital. They're completely bootstrapped up to this point, which is astonishing considering how much capital is being raised in this space. And I would say that if this is as legitimate as they're marketing it to be, it's probably one of the most impressive products that's been released out of.
Wait, they've never raised external capital?
No, they're completely bootstrapped.
So who is the founders?
It's this guy.
Where'd they get their money from?
That's a great question. We wrote about
it. Because this must have been expensive as hell.
I think they're self-funding it. So what Midjourney is, no investors, fully community funded. So they're funded by basically the revenues for the image generator. Revenue from image generation products funds all research and development. They have $100 million in revenue in the first 9 months, $200 million by month 12 and still growing. They have 8 active projects, 4 hardware, 4 software, 2 hardware products coming to market soon, which will be consumer purchasable, 2 are large scale machines. I think one of which we're watching right now, David Halls, H-O-L-Z. He is the founder. He grew up in Florida. His parents were in medicine. His dad had a dental office on a sailboat. He's a physics and math background drawn to the tension between predicting reality versus absolute truth. His core thesis is that the interaction between humans and technology is the biggest limitation, not compute power. He founded Leap Motion at 22, which did $10 million in pre-orders in 48 hours from a website that wasn't Kickstarter, built hand tracking virtual reality, a 600 million parameter mixture of experts model in 2015, a CPU cluster pre-TensorFlow, and also shipped North Star, an open source AR headset. So he seems to be a very competent founder, competent builder, smart builder. I mean, funding this with the revenue from the image generation is incredibly impressive, never taking outside capital and focusing on end products that are, again, if this is as good as advertised, would be massive for humanity. Like they're marketing as we're going to replace MRI scanning machines, which are terrible if you're claustrophobic. They take a while and they'll be able to do better body image scanning in 1 minute. With an MRI machine, it typically takes a half an hour to an hour. And then on top of that, they're going to release these spas where you can just go and get your body scanned and then take it to a doctor. And I thought that was pretty creative too. Sense of really changing the vibe of and the aesthetics of healthcare generally. So I thought it was massive. I'm very excited to see what else they have in the works.
Pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Somebody's been a happy Midjourney user for many years now and was not expecting them to come out with this. Boom, 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 boom. We have speed. I got a 3 o'clock meeting. We've got 2 more subjects, AI subscription subsidy analysis by SemiAnalysis, which if you're not following them, actually pay for their research. It's top notch. So recently they purchased one of each Anthropic OpenAI subscription plan and ran long horizon coding tasks until we exhausted the weekly limit. It's widely believed that $200 a month plan maxes out at around $2,000 worth of tokens. However, we found the subscriptions are actually far more generous. Claude Pro, you pay $20 a month, you're getting $400 of value. Claude Max 5X, you pay $100 a month, you're getting $2,000 of value. And Claude Max 20X, you're paying $200 a month and getting $8,000 in value. And then for ChatGPT Pro 20X, you pay $200 a month and get $14,000 a month in value token usage. So tokens being heavily subsidized right now.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something that we've covered for a while, but it's crazy seeing it actually, objective numbers here, like actual numbers here on how much the subsidies are. I mean, the big takeaway here is don't expect them to last. So using AI tools is I think twofold. One is like trying to figure out how to actually get them to be very useful for your life and what you're trying to build. But the second piece is trying to use them in a cost-effective way when you don't have the subsidy. So don't get caught flat-footed because, I mean, we've always seen subsidies of big tech, but never to this level. I mean, that is a wild cost that these companies are incurring for effectively market share.
I see people in the Noster chat saying that I was an Elizabeth Holmes fan, and they're getting Elizabeth Holmes vibes. I'm assuming from Midjourney. Maybe you are. That's why I tried to disclaim it. Who knows how legit this is? Hopefully it is legit, but I think the stark difference between Elizabeth Holmes and what Midjourney's done is Elizabeth Holmes raised a fuck ton of capital and basically scammed all of her investors. Where
it was an investor scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Midjourney has not taken any outside capital. They're taking all the risks. So
although I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they announced this and then in like 2 weeks they announced the fundraising announcement.
Yeah. Well, they did say they're going to self-fund the first spa and then they will need to begin funding for additional spas after that. Oh, the image generation is a great product. It actually works. Elizabeth Holmes, Theranos, that drop of blood to get a full diagnosis of your health never really worked. The image generator actually works. So maybe there's a lot of pessimism in the chat. Maybe allow yourself to be optimistic about the future and that there are good people out there building around this stuff, you know?
Look, I mean, at the very least, even if it is bullshit, at least it's directionally optimistic.
Yeah.
at least they're focusing on something that actually helps people.
Yeah. All right, last story of the week.
Need more of that.
I'm watching this now with sound off. Should we watch this whole thing? Elon teased.
No, we shouldn't watch
an anti-drone rifle. I mean, basically.
No, it's not. It's not really.
No, it's like not really it's footage of people rifle. With rifles trying to take down drones. And they can't do it.
And failing. Yeah. And specifically, this is Grand Thumb, which is like one of the big gun tubers. And just having a hell of a time not being able to take down these high speed, small, low cost drones. This is something that we've talked about time and time again on the show. I mean, I think specifically, I've definitely recommended this in the past, but you should consider reading Kill Decision by Daniel Suarez, which came out years ago, a decade plus ago. But yeah, I don't think people realize the societal changes that happen because of autonomous drone swarms. And specifically with autonomous drone swarms, they're cheap, they're asymmetrical. You can't jam them because they have the kill decision on board. And in this case, this is a demo of someone else controlling the drone, right? This is like a classic FPV drone, first person view drone. That we're seeing in Ukraine and elsewhere, right? But I mean, the implications are quite wild.
Yeah, let's work on the peaceful stuff. Let's save human lives, you know. But no, it is wild. I mean, we talked about it 2 weeks ago with a video. Or maybe it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago now at this point, but the Hezbollah video showing their attacks on Israel and how successful they were. Like, it's here. Drone warfare is here. People do not understand the gravity of it. If you've been listening to the show, we've been predicting it for years. It's here. And beware. Beware. You think you'll get your internet back today?
I'm going to try and troubleshoot it right after this. I think Starlink is up. So it's probably not that. But we'll find out.
We cannot watch the show with a banner. Fire whoever came up with the banner idea. Logan,
I like the banner. No, don't just do one random freak saying that. does not make us make decisions.
I know.
Look, freaks, if you have an opinion one way or the other, feel free to zap the show and let us know how you feel.
Yeah.
Share with friends and family. Search Rabbit Hole Recap in your favorite podcast app.
or maybe create a market on Polymarket to see if we will or will not take it off. And the consensus is that we will not. Maybe Matt and I will put a lot of money on yes, and then we rip it off.
There you go. You give us an incentive.
Yeah. What are you thinking? Any final thoughts here? You seem pretty perturbed.
Final thoughts.
You seem pretty perturbed. Your vibes were high until your internet went out.
Well, I can't troubleshoot it until we get off the show. So I'm like, because I don't want to fuck up the internet again. look, guys, I know people are a little bit scared out there. Maybe you're down a lot of money. The fundamentals are unchanged. Bitcoin is the best money. Learn how to use it yourself. It's way easier than you think it is to hold and spend Bitcoin yourself. At the basic level, it's downloading an app on your phone. When you have larger amounts, cold storage is way more accessible than people realize. Secure offline storage. We really like the cold card here, but there's many options. Go to coinkite.com, RHR. But learn how to use real Bitcoin. It's the ultimate safe haven. It's a superpower for families and strong local communities. And the fundamentals remain unchanged.
Yeah, and I think the movement out of Illinois specifically is a signal that they're afraid of people using this technology the correct way, the way Matt just described it. And I saw you tweet earlier this week, it's really not that hard. You download an app. You hit copy paste, you receive, you send. It's not that bad.
Yeah, no. If you can use X, you can use real Bitcoin. Like literally, just download Phoenix Wallet and press the receive button. And now there's arguments that can you use it more secure? 100%. But I think what happens is people gaslight you into insisting that the only valid self custody method is the most complicated way. And then they say, go buy paper Bitcoin instead. And it's just not the case. It's Phoenix Wallet is more secure than Charles Schwab. So if that's the alternative, or if the alternative is Venmo, it's more secure than Venmo. If that's the alternative, then we can't have our recommendations be built in a vacuum. And the same goes on the KYC side, right? It's like, okay, is KYC a risk to Bitcoiners? 100%. KYC ultimately is a list of Bitcoiners in our transaction history. If the alternative is you using Venmo or Charles Schwab, then you should set up a auto stacking self-custody setup with Strike with no fees whatsoever. You can just auto draw to your self-custody, strictly better. So ultimately, look, guys, no one's going to come to save you. There's no shortcuts. You have to take control over your life yourself. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad time. So the tools are available there. Me and Marty are going to continue to come in, week out, and chat with you guys about them and how we're seeing things. But ultimately, it's your decision to make. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm telling you my opinion and my perspective. But I think you should take charge of your future.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Go enjoy your weekend, freaks. Seize the opportunities. You got one life. And guess what? You just so happen to be born and be living in one of the times with the most opportunity that humans have ever had access to. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. It's a beautiful
thing. Love it. Stay humble, stack sets.
Peace and love, freaks.